Welcome. This is tape number 13-402-88B, the continuation of Arab American Women, Challenges and Triumphs.
See, would be all over her, as Abdin Jabara will tell you. However, this was 300 years before the ADC or me were an idea. So let's talk about this abstract idea called feminism. If feminism is indeed the revolutionary concept that should be completely pervasive, that allows autonomy for all people, regardless of gender, and is an extension of the concern for all people to breathe free, then yes, I'm a feminist. And I hope that everyone in this room, regardless of his or her gender, is a feminist as well. However, feminism should not be thought of as an abstract concept. It is a practical means to a goal. And furthermore, it is a cultural expression. There's a differentiation of stakes between Western feminism and feminism in the Arab world. Issues that are pertinent in the West are not in the Arab world, and vice versa. For this reason, we should be very careful when promoting feminism, freeing those Sudanese women from the mutilation that is absolutely wrong. We should be very careful before asserting our dominance as Western educated people, regardless of the fact that sometimes Arabs can be the most Orientalist because they're really trying to assert their identity as educated. Let us remember that development does not go on a continuum, and the Western world is ahead of us, and we are behind, and we move along on the same lines. Feminism, as any other ideology, should be a cultural expression of the people, regardless of gender. The Arab woman is often used as a Western icon. She's the mystery of the Orient. She's the noble savage, like Safi. She's the promise of Western liberation. She's the other against which Western progress is measured. But we should not allow Western women to appropriate the Arab woman. Arabs should band together, regardless of gender, to assert that they are, and always will be, an important element in the history, in the culture, in the political expression of all human beings on this planet. We cannot allow ourselves to be appropriated through any ism. Feminism is highly important to all of us in this room, but it is a cultural expression that is necessary to come from the Arab woman, the Arab man, the Arab people, the Arab culture. As far as Muna Asali as Arab woman goes, she knows the experience of duality. But let us put things in perspective. Arab American identity affords a woman a privileged position. It gives her the opportunity to form a critical consciousness. I, as an Arab American, am able to look at the Western woman and measure her progress from outside, as she sometimes has not been able to afford me the possibility of doing. As an Arab American woman, I've been able to try to develop an autonomous identity, melding together Arab American female intellectual. Let us remember that straddling a fence sounds very painful, and walking a tightrope can gather an audience that may not be desired. It is a positive experience of choosing one's identity that we all require. We must embrace the Arab woman because she is us. I am an Arab because I was born that way, and I suppose the same can be said about why I'm female. However, I have been afforded the opportunity to define what Arab woman means. She's not Safi. She's not Barbara Eden's role on I Dream of Jeannie. She's not the belly dancer in Dar es Salaam. The Arab American woman is a woman, she's an Arab, she's an American. Nothing is mutually exclusive in that sequence. It is the triumph of the integrated which we should all seek, the development of a positive image of Arab, whether he or she is male or female. It is the strength within an organized context. And most of all, it is the discovery of a voice. What all of us in this room require, what all of us should strive for, is a voice. A voice that speaks out above the din that threatens to oppress us. To buy into any myth that is offered us is to lie to oneself. Self-expression is a necessity for the promotion of all Arabs, male or female. Upon that note, I'll let you proceed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mariam. As articulate as always. Our next speaker is Nahla Naami Lewis. She is a native of Syria, and she's been a resident of the United States for the past 10 years. She's the president of the Charleston, Virginia chapter of the National Organization for Women. She's also an active member of the American Trade Union and the Civil Liberties Union. Ms. Nahla Naami Lewis.
It's good to see you, sisters. Also good to see you, brothers. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? It's also good to see you, brothers. You must feel that the women, the Arab women, have a conspiracy against you, or do we? I'm here to speak about our triumphs as Arab women in the United States. And I'm also going to speak about the challenges that we have. Our triumphs come from our past history. Like the young woman before me, Arab women have fought wars, still fighting wars. Arab women have a big, wonderful, long history. And I am very proud. I am taking my message to the American society. I do not feel that being integrated is necessarily mean being assimilated. I like to take our triumph to the rest of the women in the world because sisterhood is powerful. I also have a dream, and my dream is the Arab American Women's Yellow Pages. Do you have any idea what the Arab American Women's Yellow Pages would look like? It will be wonderful. We are in every field. We are proud of our accomplishments. We wear hard hats. We work in the assembly lines. We are priests. We are doctors, and we need to let the world know about this. My challenge to you, my sisters and brothers, is to get involved in every aspect of American life, keeping your identity. Tell them who you are, but get involved. Work on people's campaign, run for office, help people get elected, because we have a long way to go, and we have come a long way. It is by us being involved in the American mainstream that we break the stereotype. It is the American Arab woman who has the burden of breaking the stereotype more so than a man, because traditionally they have used the stereotypes against women to attack Arab culture. when they talk to you about the veil, first thing they say is, well, you women wear veils because men force them. Well, no, our men don't force it. Some of us wear it by choice. And again, they also neglect to tell or to see that the religious Arab man also wears the black, long, flowing dress, and they cover their heads, but they choose to pick on just to see one side. And our job is to break that stereotype by being who we are, not by being defensive. Please, we do not to be defensive. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. We have wonderful mothers. We have wonderful foremothers. We are wonderful women. And I hope that we will get involved more often in the American mainstream. And thank you.
Thank you, Nahla. I have with me here the address for the women, at least one women's organization in the East Bank. Well, East Jerusalem, sorry, in the West Bank. You can send your message care of Zahra Kamal, Zahira Kamal, Post Office Box 20576, 20576, East Jerusalem. And I guess the way it goes is you have to add via Israel.
Try getting it returned.
Okay, we have about 30 minutes. Please proceed to the microphone if you have any questions. You don't have to state your name if you don't wish to. Try, if you would like a specific member of the panel to answer your question, please say that also. Would you like to start?
Yes. My name is Loretta Ross, and I'm representing the national office of the National Organization for Women. And I started over 2 years ago a Women of Color program to address the same issues that our panelists spoke of in terms of the exclusion of women of color from the American feminist political process as well as the overall feminist political process. After having said all that, I have one question. I have been a witness to the Zionization of the American feminist movement. And that is a very important fact for us to recognize, for us to acknowledge, but most importantly, for us to combat. Because it is because, and I say this unashamedly because I've had to stand up at many conferences at the American Association of University Women, at many, many women's conferences where the panels, the speakers, the participants are overly loaded with Jewish women who make totally blatant attacks against Arab women without any opportunity for Arab women to give a rebuttal to this process. Part of the problem, of course, is the politics of those organizations. But the larger problem is the non-presence of Arab women there to defend themselves. So it often falls upon this lone black woman who understands oppression and can connect all of this stuff to stand up and say to Abella Abzug, you can't say that. You know, you can't do that. I'd like to issue a challenge to all Arab American feminists to look at why the National Organization for Women, as much as it wants to, may not endorse Jesse Jackson. Why? Because of an anti-Arab, anti-Jackson constituency within the organized women's movement that provides a large part of our funding. I mean, I don't want to leave the money question out of there. And so we really need to look at us taking our place within the organized women's movement, us challenging this anti-Arab section of the organized women's movement. I don't want to say it's the majority, because it is not, but it is very powerful, it is very influential, and to date, in my last 15 years as a feminist, it has not been challenged by the presence of Arab American women.
My name is Adel Baikat from California. My question to Dr. Fatwa Al-Jundi. Please, I'd like you to tell us about the importance of the language for the Arabic. Because I noticed that you and Dr. Anand too, you have an accent just like me. But Muna and Nahla, they speak English very well. Anyway, about the culture and about the religion, how important for the Arab American women. Thank you.
The language is very important. All the studies in linguistics show that language is not simply speech, but a perception of the world. I tell you, Adel, thank you for the question. I worked very hard to have an accent. It, you know, with teaching and living 20 years in the States, I work very hard to remain with a strong Egyptian accent. I don't know. Well, it's Egyptian Arabic form. That is, I mean, yeah. My resistance, though, went earlier than that, when British schools in Egypt and so on, you find that Egyptians in particular speak English with a British accent. So I had to work hard to learn English in Egypt, not with a British accent, and then come to the States and maintain somehow my own unique accent. So I consider what you said a compliment. Thank you very much.
Well, my name is Saad. I'm Anan's sister. I want to attack Anan viciously, but since she's my sister, I'm not going to do it in public. Hence, I'm going to attack Fadwa Al-Jundi. Well, it's very good and important for all of us to be proud of our culture. But I think sometimes we tend to have that culture to cover us from our problems. And I would like to see this discussion happening in the Arab world, so we won't have the pretext of American culture, American sexist, American this and American that. I really think as an Arab woman, if we want to handle the issue, I think Fadwa, you were very nostalgic, and the picture you have drawn is not only rosy, it's red. I mean, not with that context of red, but I really think it is extremely important for us not to do, you know, to take just the few exceptions of you being in the army or of this woman going to have a PhD. We do have lots of problems. As an anthropologist, I expect you to talk about tradition and change. And for women who are going to be professor, university professors like yourself, or for Anan and other people, I think our Arab culture gives us lots of problems, and I'd like to address that. Thank you.
Well, I don't think we disagree. I did mention that our heritage gives us strengths and weaknesses, and I think I mentioned that after I talked about the strengths, I identified where the areas of oppression is. I'm sure you recall. It's very important if we want to introduce programs of change to understand the issues and to understand where the oppression lies. And that's precisely why, in this case, anthropology is important. We can take a program that is very workable for American society and impose it on another society, and it just simply doesn't work. There's no such thing as a universal program that works. Culture is very powerful, and there are subtleties in the culture, and you have to take it in consideration. I mentioned that it is significant to know that in the Arab system, the very core of people who give you all the supports and provide you with all the strengths are also the same people who potentially can be your oppressors. And I think this is what is important, and that's why most of the feminist movement has to do with family law, not with other things like maternity leaves, because maternity leave has been there before Americans heard about it. And in every large corporation in America, in Egypt, that I'm familiar with, requires by law that after a certain percentage of working women, there'd be a nursery physically inside that corporation. That is, you work in a building and a nursery would be there. That's a law, and that didn't require a feminist movement. That was inbuilt. I think we shouldn't ignore these things, but I think we should also know that the area of oppression comes from within the family. It could be your father and brother abusing the system and oppressing you. If we know this difference, then we wouldn't put the programs of change in the wrong areas. But I didn't say that it's that rosy. I said, I agree with you.
I too have an accent. I'm an English teacher. I've been in this country for 20 years. But I think it's part of our identity, you know, the accent. As long as we can communicate, I think we need to keep that identity. My concern is mainly about the immigrant Arab women who come to this country. We have come a long way. Most of us here have our problems, but they are nothing much compared to the Arab women who come. First of all, some of them come not out of choice. They are here because their husband is coming for one reason or another, either as a student or as an immigrant. They are extremely unhappy. Some of them don't even speak the language. I have always felt like we need to do something to help those women to adjust and to relate to life in this country. Perhaps, you know, the caucus you mentioned would be a good start to help in that respect. In most towns, they have a welcome wagon that welcomes new people. Maybe if the Arab communities could do something like that, or if you have any suggestions that could be used to do that, because I've known a number of women who have been extremely unhappy. The men come and they are, you know, they had chosen, like I said, to be here, and they are okay, and they don't really understand how difficult it is for them.
Thank you. Your point is very well taken, although I must add that in a number of communities, something very close to welcome wagon does exist, either via the mosque or via the Maronite church or the Coptic church or a Greek Orthodox church, some place that where Arab Americans congregate. Usually they do take on that role. Perhaps not in all of the communities. We would like to see more of that happen, of course. But I believe that a large number of us are very sensitive to the plight of the new immigrant women.
My name's Karima Benoun, and I'm half Arab and half American, and that's the perspective from which I want to ask this question of Muna and Nahla. And I feel kind of uncomfortable. I feel like you're suggesting sort of that what we have to do is kind of paint a rosy picture and keep hands off in order to protect our culture here. And I think that becoming reactionary to protect what we see as our heritage is going to end up backfiring on us. And I think that if we decide then that things like women's mutilations in the Sudan is not an important issue, I mean, I understand that it's not an issue that should be used to attack the whole culture, but we still have to deal with it as something that's extremely important. And there may be stereotypes, and we may be attacked from the outside, but that women's mutilation should be more important to us because it happens within our community than to the people on the outside who are attacking us. And I think that we have to, if we really want to protect who we are and protect our identity, we have to learn to be really honest with ourselves. And I'd like you to comment on that.
Thank you, Karima, for your honesty and forthrightness. I really do appreciate it. You're very right. The mutilation of women is mutilation. It's disgusting and reprehensible. But the way in which it is used has gotten out of the control of the Arab community and out of the control of the people to whom it occurs. When it is used as a Western tool to oppress women and say, look at these really messed up people, I think that's completely incorrect. It should be a problem, and it is dealt with in Sudan and in Upper Egypt. It is a problem that is dealt with by the social mobility. It doesn't just go away, but it is expressed, it is a cultural expression, no matter how grotesque it is. And when it, oh, thank you.
No, I just came back because I want to follow up. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay. I know where you went.
I'm hiding.
And it should be expressed by the Arab women. It should not be used as a model of what the typical Arab woman's experience. Go ahead. Do you have?
Yeah, my point is then that maybe to protect ourselves from that, we have to start talking about it before they do. And maybe mutilation is a bad example, but I mean, there are all kinds of things within our culture. And I take the example of the Algerian women, because my Arab half is Algerian. And they gave up so much for the revolution, and their position is going backwards now. So I think we have to be on the ball here. If we don't want the criticism to be coming in from outside, we really have to start standing up and dealing with these issues, and not just saying that they don't exist or that they're not important.
Of course they're important, of course they do exist, and of course they should be addressed by Arab women.
Hi. While you were talking, I was, oh, sorry.
I think she also wanted a comment from Nahla.
Yeah, I'd like to comment to you, please. When you paint a picture, be sure and paint the whole picture. Give the good and the bad, and if somebody asks you, just be truthful, because people have ways of finding out. But please, no partial pictures. The whole picture needs to be addressed. And that's why I'm again going to stress that do not leave a vacuum in any culture you're in. Do not leave a vacuum. Do not let other people speak for you. Speak for yourselves and be truthful. That's how I would deal with it.
Yes, while you were talking, I'll try to imagine if this panel was being conducted in the Gaza Strip or in Iran or in Egypt, in one of these Islamic universities, and I'll try to imagine what the response would be to deal with you. At any rate, my question is, being an Arab, doesn't that necessarily presuppose that you believe in a system of social values or of religious values? No, I haven't heard anybody talk about Islam, how whether it is stifling or non-stifling, how it's applied. If, let's say, you have a Muslim father here, does he expect the woman to act differently from her brother? The question of duality that Mona mentioned. So what I'm saying is that can you be a feminist and at the same time maintain a Muslim or a Christian common core value system?
Did you want to address your question to a specific member of the panel?
I'd like to hear the lady there and maybe Mona. Yeah.
Well, I happen to be a Muslim, an Arab, and with an accent, so all what you... I really don't think that the issue... I mean, I'm not a religious Muslim, let's put it this way, but I understand that the wife of Muhammad Khadija was a... You know, she was a businesswoman, she traded, she traveled, and she owned a business. And I don't know that the Muslim culture, in many of our communities that I see it, especially immigrant community in this country, we're dealing with the Arab-American community, that I see it in this country, I think if they take Islam and apply it literally, many of these women are much better off. There's nothing in our religion say that when women come to this country, they have not to speak the language and not to know how to drive and not to work. And if they work, they work in a store and while their husbands are running around. But when they want to go for a visit, they have to have...
For the continuation of this presentation, turn your tape over.